He never really confessed to me about the Umbrella Man. He always sidestepped it. What did he ever say to you about that, Paul?
Well, funny. Funny you brought that up. He would initially tell me no, then backtrack. And Gordon was good at that. He always liked to have an air of mystery about him. And he reveled in that kind of persona that he, projected in front of people. By the way, we have Carrie Cassidy back. Hello, Carrie. Carrie, are you there?
Hi. Yes, I'm here. How are you?
Hi, Carrie. How are you doing? I know it's been a shock to you.
Yeah. It has actually been a bit of a shock. But anyway, Jerry, it's lovely to talk to you. Obviously, people may or may not know that you and I go way back.
Yeah, we do. We go back even further than Gordon Lomel.
And yes, and for everyone listening, Jerry Pippin is a legend in his own time, and anyone who doesn't know that should further investigate. And
yeah,
it's lovely to talk to you and on the radio here, even though it is a sad occasion. I think that you probably knew Gordon pretty well, isn't that right?
Yes, we knew him pretty well and worked with him a lot, but so did you.
Yeah, I would say so. I've just published on my blog the short statement from his son saying that he'd passed away and linking to this radio show here so people could tune in and be aware. And I'm going to try to Facebook and tweet it, too, on the break. It's very interesting because I guess other than the fact that, one can look at this philosophically, of course. In my view, it seems that Gordon was extraordinarily healthy initially when I interviewed him. And for his age, he was very young, actually. He looked young and he was extremely vibrant. And so it apparently he took some kind of a real downhill trajectory at a certain point in his health that landed him in the hospital. I'm actually rather surprised because I didn't think that he was in such poor health. And so I'm not, I being Camelot, I'm going to see this as that they stepped in and decided to do away with him. Perhaps they decided he was too much of a sort of burr in their saddle, as you called it. He was a very, very sort of cantankerous individual. I was just noticing at the bottom of the email from his son, Sir, that there was someone talking about how he apparently was getting better in the hospital, and then he was complaining and bad-mouthing everyone around him. That would be, Gordon, because he was, I think people don't realize is what happens with somebody like that is that they have very high sort of dreams and aspirations, and they also have a high measuring stick for those around them, and the other people around them often don't live up to that. Now, it doesn't really have to do with whether they themselves live up to it, but I just want to say that, it comes from, that kind of a judgmental, very sort of sarcastic, interesting kind of individual. I think in a certain way that our society, that's kind of a dying breed. I don't know how you feel about that, Jerry, but I like those type of people, personally.
Well, I do, too, and as I said, they're interesting, and I'm infatuated with those people. And, you mentioned, and Paul talked about it earlier, about whether or not Gordon was knocked off or this is a natural occurrence or whatever. He was 74, but you are right. Until the last year or so, he was very vibrant. And I called him a little earlier wiry, and that's why, by that, I mean he was feisty for his age. And he never really thought of himself as an old guy, and nobody around him thought of much of him as an old guy. We had kind of that in common. And the last year or so, he did go downhill, and health-wise. He was in the hospital, I guess, 2 or 3 years ago. Now, time gets away from me. He had a bypass operation, and but he seemed to have recovered from that quite well. And here again, I don't know. You and I have had many people in our past and in our journalism careers that suddenly die. Makes one wonder.
That's right.
And we're in a business that is important to get the truth out, and it's difficult at the same time. On I know it is on you. You're quite a caring individual personally, and have always been quite taken with you from the first time we met, and our paths have crossed back and forth, Gary. And basically, I know it takes a toll on you. It does me, and I try to be, act like I'm hard as nails. But when these witnesses suddenly die on you, it makes you wonder. And the problem is, when some sort of biological attack like this, if that happened, you can never really prove anything. And I don't want to talk. We're talking about Gordon tonight, but this afternoon. But I've suddenly developed several illnesses, and I've been a very healthy guy. But I look back on it. I just don't know how they could have infected me. So I guess it's natural.
Uh-huh.
And so you brought that subject up. And it's something that Gordon even talked about. He joked with me about it several times. I'm sure he did you too, that people were going to knock him off.
Well, yeah. I mean, he would have said, what he would say is that MJ-12 had it in for him, and they were going to knock him off. And they actually had him thrown in jail on false pretenses a number of times. People don't maybe know this. It was absolutely incredible. I mean, I have to say what they did to Gordon. Now, some people might say he did it to himself. I don't think so. The evidence is that they did some crazy things. They took his car. They said it was stolen. They made him go. They got him arrested. They sent the cops down to arrest him. Crazy stuff would happen to him constantly. They just loved to harass him, basically, and they knew how angry he got. And, of course, I'm sure that the amount of anger that he was dealing with on a daily basis, it's actually amazing that he was as healthy as he was for as long as he was. But I guess maybe after a while it could have contributed to his, failing health. Although, on the one hand, I mean, I think he would just stay alive just to spite people as long as he possibly could. So it's really my position that they had to have taken him out this time.
Carrie's right about that car incident. That pretty well, it was his own car, and pretty well, it's kind of like, how long have you been beating your wife? You never have an answer, that's satisfactory to people. And these people that Gordon dealt with, and that Carrie deals with, and I deal with occasionally, they know how to play that game very well. So they could have very easily caused his demise, no doubt about it. So I'm not going cold water on that at all. I'm just saying we don't know. We don't have any proof, but it's pretty mysterious.
Well, I could also talk about the time when I was in Roswell and a certain handler of Gordon's sprayed me with a toxin that got me sick 3 days later when Gordon showed up for the Roswell 60th anniversary. And I got sicker than a freaking dog. And I mean, I was sick. But we could get more into that. And I mean, they do play dirty pool. bottom line.
Well, that's true, and Carrie knows even better than I know that some of these people that have come forward are no longer here. So, I mean,
absolutely.
And I'm not trying to scare whistleblowers away because we need them, but there is a risk.
Well, there is a risk, but there's a risk in just leaving your house every day. I mean, you got to have something to live for, and I do want to say, just in tribute to Gordon, that that he definitely had reason to live. And I mean, I have spent hours with the man, you know, and he just goes on and on and on about his plans for the future, and his book that was, you know, his company RAM that he had put together, and all the times when he tried to get that thing off the ground. It's just amazing.
By the way, Carrie, I wanted to get into the topic. Gordon had a very, notorious career in his life, as Jerry and I talked about earlier. Gordon denied in one aspect, but then would later on confirm in other aspects that he may have been the umbrella man who helped direct the shooters to take out John F. Kennedy during the Kennedy assassination. He admitted.
Well, I'm not sure that he was working for the shooters.
He may not have been, but he knew David Ferry.
I mean, he was in the middle of all that, and we talked about that a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. I don't know how Kerry feels about it. But Gordon's politics certainly wasn't anti-Kennedy.
No,
right. That's it. It is a very interesting subject, you know, and I really was very, very hard to get a straight answer out of Gordon in regard to that issue. If you watch my interview with him, you'll see as I try to go down that road with him and how evasive he was. He was very close-mouthed around the Kennedy assassination. He knew a great deal. And obviously, they were monitoring his answers in that particular regard very closely. So you can appreciate that. In fact, I'm actually kind of kicking myself here, because had I known that he was going to pass, I would have gone to his hospital and tried to get, you know, some kind of last statement from him. And this is just the kind of thing where they wanted to avoid that very thing. I thought he was getting better. I have to admit, I didn't have any warning that he was gonna pass at this juncture. So, unfortunately, I wasn't able to get that last statement. And I think a lot of people out there would have loved to get that last statement from Gordon. It's very possible, being the kind of personality he was, he would have spilled the beans, so to speak. I just don't know. There are people there that are sure that he was involved. He was the umbrella man. I know I have a friend who watched him very closely and definitely thought that he was there. Hold on. I'm just hearing from Rich Dolan. I want to see.
Gary, have Rich Dolan if you would.
You know, it's interesting. It's interesting that Gordon had unusual names for his children. And Spirit, for instance.
Okay, Rich is here, and he would like to be added. Let me.
While you guys are getting ready to get Rich on, and Richard knew here at the end more about the condition of Gordon than any of us. In fact, I'm kicking myself now because I started to call Richard yesterday to find out the latest. And since Gordon passed away at 3:00 in the morning in a nursing home, Rich may have known about it already. His son wrote in this email,
Gary,
and I think I should
Gary,
read this.
Can I interrupt just for a brief second? I need to clarify this with Carrie.
Let me mention the fact that in the email, it's something that Carrie mentioned about Gordon, and I think his son said it pretty well here. Dad would not have wanted to have been lying in the hospital much longer than he was. And so his time had come. And Gordon, he was not the kind of person that would want to be in a nursing home for the rest of his life. And so we just don't really know exactly what happened there, other than had this rare disease that he had diabetes, so maybe a part of it might have been that.
Hold one second, Jerry. Is Richard, are you on the line? Okay, he's on. He's on live. Hello, Richard. How you doing?
Hi, Paul. Hi, Carrie.
Hi there.
Yeah. Hi. How are you doing, Richard? Jerry Tippin here.
Hey, how are you, Jerry? Good to hear. Good to see you or hear you.
So this is a very a rather sad occasion, at least from my perspective, Rich. Do you want to share how you knew Gordon? I'm sure people would love to hear.
Yeah, I knew Gordon for, about 10 years, I suppose. And first time I met him was at, I think, the International UFO Congress in Laughlin, probably back in 04, 05-ish, maybe 04. And I will never forget one of the organizers of the conference, a young guy came up to me and said, "Rich, be careful. Gordon Novell wants to talk to you." Gordon was preceded by this awe, this fear and awe that this guy had for him. I'll never forget it. But I do remember, you know, that time meeting with Gordon, and he's the kind of guy who would just get right in your face. Gordon never missed words, ever. And I got to know him pretty well. In fact, I ended up participating in a project with him along with Jim Mars for a little while, until just, you know, Gordon could just make you crazy, to be honest with you. He was a lovable guy. I loved him and I hated him at the same time. I told him that. I said, "Of all the people I love, I hate you the most. Of all the people I hate, I love you the most." But the thing about Gordon was he had dedicated himself for a long time to, as he used to call it, white worlding. The black world technology that he knew, that he was convinced was in the hands of the folks at Groom Lake and beyond, all of it based on his analysis and that of other people on the alien reproduction vehicle that was seen allegedly by Brad Sorensen in 1988. Gordon was one of the people who spoke to Brad Sorensen about this. He was convinced that it's real. I'm convinced that it's real. And his mission ever since was to develop that technology, to get it out of the hands of Majestic, as he would often say, and make it available for the rest of the world and really change the world.
Well, yeah, Gordon and I discussed that a lot as well. And he looked at that as a mission,
yeah,
that this free energy, this new technology could change the world. And that's the reason I said what I said about him a little earlier, about his politics. Gordon was at the same time a gruff and rough individual, as you say, Richard. You hate him and you love him at the same time. But he really had the goodness of mankind. It was kind of a paradox, you know. He lived a dangerous life, supposedly, his reputation preceded him. And he liked to push that reputation, by the way.
Gordon to me was a lot like my dad, who is still alive, but those two guys have a lot in common. My dad was a cop in New York City and a real tough guy. Gordon was just like that. And once I got to know Gordon, I really was able to relate to him very well on that basis. And what I found is, yes, he was very gruff. He was very in your face. He talked a big game, and you sometimes would wonder, how much could he really support? But here's one thing Gordon really did. He always struck me as almost being able to make bricks without straw. You know, with no infrastructure of his own, he really put together teams of very capable people, very high quality people to move forward on this mission. And he would prod and prod and prod and push and push and push, to get all of these different people to try to work together for this common goal. And I'm sad that he died before he really could see this to fruition. And may I ask one of you, when and how did he die?
Well, all I know, let me interject here, is that I received an email from Tom, who's a secondary associate of Gordon. Sam was the VP of Gravionics, and it was from Sir.
Okay, his son.
Indicating that Gordon had passed away, not explaining what happened, but just said that he died. From what I understand, he was dealing with some severe health issues, dealing with his diabetes.
That's right. It was very bad.
And that, but reportedly he was doing better right before he passed, which is amazing to me. I mean, I can't understand what happened with that and how Gordon would have just abruptly, Richard, had passed away after doing so much better. I mean, the guy was a fighter.
I'll tell you this. I put Gordon up in a hotel for a few nights. He came up to Rochester to see me for a little while. And I spent a lot of time with him. He, for a guy with diabetes, first of all, he was in very good physical shape and condition. However, he had the worst diet. I have a son with diabetes. I know all about it. Gordon lived on donuts and coffee. When I saw him, and I said, Gordon, you can't do this. This is not good. But he just, that's what he did. I mean, I always felt that he did not eat well enough for a person in his physical condition. And then he did nearly die a couple of years ago. I know he had very bad health. I was very concerned about that. And yes, he got better. But I don't know how well or poorly he took care of himself in the last year or so. It's quite possible. I don't really know. I mean, whether, you know, if you're suggesting that someone offed him, I don't know. I think that his...
Yeah, let's not really know. You do get better sometimes before you get worse. I have diabetes. And I take care of myself, and Rich is right, Gordon didn't.
No, and he was insane. I mean, the guy had more energy. He was manic, honestly, and he just never stopped. I marveled at his determination, at his energy, at his grit, but I really never felt he took good care of himself. And he smoked, you know, smoked cigarettes constantly, and... So, I don't know. I mean, my guess is that he just died. But of course, I don't know.